thinking, wow, what a vigil. This is really a vigil. No, this is amazing. That's right. That's right. Easter is all about resurrection. In fact, I would think that we should call it the Great Vigil of Resurrection, you know, because that's what we're really talking about here. And you had to go through the process. If you remember at the beginning of Palm Sunday in the other room there, I said, when we come together, we are somewhat reenacting, but then we are entering into, we're going beyond reenacting that holy week of Jesus in Jerusalem, coming up to the next morning. And that's where we are now. It is nighttime. The sun has set. The next day, the first day of the week has begun. And Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen. Hallelujah. You know, the thing that we call Easter, it comes from, that word comes from, you know, a number of mixed traditions involving a pagan goddess of fertility in England, ancient England. And, you know, it happened to occur at the same time the church was going to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. The church, I think, would do this on purpose, you know, when you come into a new area, to ease the transition of previously pagan cultures into the new way of truth, you'd put your main feast on something that was already there, a previous feast. And that's where the word Easter comes from. But we're talking about resurrection, you know? Now, we've all been well conditioned to the idea of Easter bunnies and Easter eggs, you know. Our dogs were chasing some Easter bunnies earlier today. No, I'm just kidding. But we all know that it's really about the thing that you've heard in the scriptures tonight, new life. New life for each of us. And it was offered in Jesus' incredible work on the cross and in his resurrection. That's what this Holy Week has all been about. That's what this journey, as David said, is all about. You know, we've also, over the years, been conditioned to the message of resurrection. And I'm not just talking about us here in the church or even in the larger church. But, you know, we hear an awful lot about it. You don't think about it, but we do. The secular world actually deals with resurrection all the time. Now, in video games, it happens all the time, okay? You can, you know, be respawned anytime you want, is what they call it, okay? I remember when their kids were little, we used to play this video game called Midtown Madness, you know? And you could drive pretty much any car that you wanted through these major cities like, you know, San Francisco or, what was it, Chicago, you know? And I think we could actually find our way around Chicago now just because of that game. But I'll tell you what, it was kind of scary watching Daniel drive that thing, you know? You know, somehow he wound up on top of the Sears Tower. I don't know. But, you know, if your car broke down because you had just done so much damage to it, boom, it turned into a new car. It was resurrected, you see? And if you play any of the shooter games, you know, you can get shot too. And, you know, if you get shot enough, you die. And then you're resurrected. Boom, there you go. And so, you know, we have been conditioned to this idea of resurrection. Soon, in fact, in a week, the final movie of the Marvel Avengers series will come out. And there's no doubt that in this movie that a lot of superheroes are going to be resurrected, okay? Because they were killed in the last one. They ceased to exist, shall we say. Or they're going to be revived, if you want to say that. And it's all because of the faithful work of their comrades who had survived, you see. You know, over the years, Marvel has resurrected 29 of their characters, including that most popular character of the Marvel Universe. Who is it?
Spider-Man.
No. Oh, who is this guy? Who let him in here? Captain America. The big guy with the A on his head. Yeah, he was resurrected. It's an A. No, not an S. It's not an S. That was an S. Okay, right. Yeah. But you know, movies can show us almost anything now, thanks to computers. I mean, it is so good now that they can bring back actors who have been dead and remake those characters, even taking old actors who are now old, they can bring them back in their young incarnations. Christopher Lee in Star Wars Rogue One. he was miraculously brought back to reprise his role, you know, as Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin. In the first Star Wars that came out in 1977, they brought him back in 2017, but he died in 2015. Is that incredible? He was there in the movie. You'll see it. They did the same thing with Carrie Fisher. They brought the young Princess Leia out in this movie and showed her to us, although it was completely animated. But that is the incredible thing that can be done now with computers. Anything is possible now in movies. And with those movies being such an important part of our culture, and the way movies and video games and other media shape our beliefs so much, resurrection has become a foregone conclusion to the world. Sure, it can happen. We see it all the time. You know, just pull out a computer. Okay. But do we? Do we really see it? You know? I mean, what is resurrection? Well, simple answer is that. Someone coming back to life after dying, right? But you know, despite all media to the contrary, all that virtual resurrection that we see and hear about, people do not come back to life after 3 days. Only Lazarus beat that, you know, record, you know. And that was because of what Jesus did. That kind of resurrection does not happen in our lives. Yes, in medicine we see people revived and revived after even sometimes hours. I think 70 minutes is probably the longest that I've heard of. And that's the thing. Our culture has dulled us to the message of resurrection. Amen. On Christmas Eve of 2017, I preached to you here that you are the gift of Christmas. Okay? You see, since Jesus is the gift of Christmas, the real gift of Christmas, right? And because you are in Jesus, because as Colossians says, your life is hidden in Christ, because you are the body of Christ, then you are the gift of Christmas. Okay? That was the message that I brought to you. And the same thing goes for resurrection, because you are now resurrection. Jesus has been raised from the dead. You have all become Christians. You have entered into that life. You said your profession once again tonight that you believe and that you follow him. And therefore, you are the resurrection. You remember the scripture? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's resurrection. That's you. You have been resurrected with Christ. Well, what is resurrection? You are. All of us who have accepted Jesus' invitation to a new life are the resurrection. We are witnesses of resurrection. We are survivors of resurrection, as you want to say. We can testify to resurrection. If you believe in Jesus, you are resurrection. Trick question. Who has ever been resurrected in the world? Well, you know about Jesus. You know about Lazarus, right? Well, what about you? You're the resurrection. Every Christian ever since Jesus came that was baptized has been resurrected. That's a lot of people. You know, you've all seen the pizza guys, you know, standing out on the road in front of the restaurant with a sign, you know, Little Caesar's guy, he's out there, you know, doing this, you know, come on in. You know, do that kind of thing, you know, or Domino's or whatever it is, you know. You see him dancing out there and you just want to go in and get a pizza, don't you? You know, or back before April 15th, you've seen the Statue of Liberty standing out there. Yeah. People, come on in, you know, taxes are going to be due soon. Well, that's you for resurrection. You can dance around with a sign saying resurrection. People ask you, have you ever seen resurrection? You say, seen it, I've survived it. Yes. You see what I'm getting at here?
We need to take dance lessons.
I don't know, you tell me. If you want, we can take a vote on that later. You see, because right now we have a problem. The world has been so conditioned to the idea of resurrection that it's become an everyday occurrence, they think. And you know, the devil has done this on purpose. It's very sly strategic planning, you know. We'll dull people down to the message so that they're not interested. And then they're not impressed when you try to tell them about a guy who came back to life after 3 days. Not like they were in centuries past. It was never seen, never heard of before. And the problem is, it's becoming not enough to tell people about Jesus. You know, the U.S. is no longer a Christian nation. We are just Christians living in a pluralistic nation. People are growing up without the knowledge of God or Jesus. And at the same time, those people have been conditioned to the message of the gospel. Essentially, it's come to the point where it's not enough to tell people about the resurrection. It has to be demonstrated by you. We can't just talk about resurrection anymore. We have to show it. You have to be the resurrection. You have to demonstrate it. Now, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about you going out and killing yourself and waiting to be resurrected, okay? Don't take this quite that far. Let's use Paul as an example instead, okay? In Philippians 4:9, he says this to the Philippians. He says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The things that you learned and received and heard," get it, "saw in me, do these things." The things that they saw in Paul. More than what they just heard of him, you know, more than that they had learned from him, more that they had received from him, more than just his teachings, but what they saw in Paul. And what did they see that demonstrated resurrection? The Spirit. They saw the Holy Spirit of God in Paul. They saw Paul do miracles. For Paul to survive his ordeals was a miracle to begin with. But Paul rebuked a sorcerer so that he became blind. Paul healed a lame man in Lystra. Paul touched handkerchiefs and people were healed just by touching the handkerchiefs. Paul raised a boy from the dead who had fallen to his death. Paul let a spiritual vision plan his second missionary journey. Paul loved all of those that he taught. Paul let the Spirit lead him and allow the Holy Spirit to work through him. Paul demonstrated resurrection, you see. He didn't just teach it. He was it. That's what I'm talking about. And Paul says this about us in Romans 8. He says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Resurrection, new life, you. That's what we're talking about. And finally, what you heard tonight in Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, you were raised with Christ, resurrected. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are the resurrection. And he doesn't just show us that he was the resurrection. He shows us that we are resurrection as well. And you do demonstrate resurrection all the time. I've seen it in all of you. I've seen it demonstrated every time that you serve someone, every time that you decorate the church, every time that you come here, every time that you visit a sick brother or sister, every time that you encourage someone who's going through tough times, every time that you persevere through tough times. Every time that you love, you're demonstrating resurrection. But now there has to be something new. You know, we've gone through this time. We've gone through a long period of time where we've been seeking God and saying that we need to get closer to Him. We've been calling out in Lent to listen to God. And now we find out what it is we need to do. Well, just like Paul, We have to add the Spirit's power to our message, to our witness. You see, by walking in the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work in and through us for others in supernatural ways, we demonstrate resurrection very powerfully. Paul wrote, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these." He didn't say meditate on these. He didn't say discuss these. He didn't say learn these. He didn't say recite these. He said do these. And that's what we have to do now, because this is a new world and a new place out there. It's harder. How are we going to do that? Well, we were at the Lenten retreat, and the bishop had a word for this. He puts it this way. He says, "Lift up your eyes, sniff out the darkness, and boldly go after it and set the captives free." Paul was spiritually attuned. He saw things in the Spirit, little things below the surface that weren't necessarily obvious. He knew darkness when he saw it, and he confronted it. He boldly went after it, praying or proclaiming, and then he set captives free. Put another way, we have to be spiritually alert. We have to stay in Christ. We have to remain hidden in Christ and see what He sees. We set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth, as He tells us. Look for darkness. I mean, you know what it looks like. Someone is out of control, someone who's mean or angry, vindictive or depressed, hopeless. And then boldly go after it, each in your individual lives and experiences throughout your week. Allow the Spirit to work through you. He may do things you would never do on your own. He may have you pray right there and right then for that person in front of you. You may proclaim and prepare and do any of these things that proclaim healing or deliverance or salvation. And this may not just be people you know and your acquaintances. These may be people that just fit that description out there. When you're in front of a lost person, ask God for a word of knowledge for them. And then tell them that word. Believers have given words, spiritual words of knowledge, things they could never know in the flesh. And it's demonstrated real power to the unbeliever. It gets their attention. They see resurrection in it. You see, what I'm talking about is not so much about the doing, the what and the how to do it. I'm just giving you an example there of what might happen. The nice thing about this is that all we have to do is get in Christ, is get in deep with Him, the place that we've already been searching for, the place that we're already trying to go into that new level with Him. Because it's not in our power that these things happen. It will be in His, only in His. It's really more about trusting Him, you see. We've been preaching about getting closer to God all this time, going deeper in Him, listening to Him, experiencing Him in a new and deeper way. And this is the reason. It's not so we can just have our own spiritual high. It's so the Spirit can work through us more and more. It's so if He can use us out in the world, then He's going to be glorified and resurrection will be preached. Yes, it is for you because God loves you. But it's for others who don't know that love too. And I'll admit to you, this what I'm talking to you about scares me. Okay? So I'm afraid we're going to step out there and He won't show up. You see, this thing is unnatural to us. It doesn't fit into our experience set, so to speak. Okay? It doesn't happen in the flesh, in the material world. And I don't want to stand out. I don't want to look like a fool. I have a word for you. What is it? I don't know. It's new and powerful, what I'm talking to you about. It's scary because we have no control over it. We aren't sure if anything will happen. We don't know what will happen. But you know what? I realize now more and more that this must happen. Because we live in a society that has been dulled to the message of the gospel. Resurrection? Sure, it happens all the time. I saw it on YouTube yesterday. We who are the resurrection must demonstrate resurrection to others. The word that Miranda had earlier about that nucleus or that atom coming together and before it explodes, it's not going to explode because we do anything except that we get into God. We get tight with Him. David asked last week, do you want to see what salvation looks like? Come along on this journey through Holy Week. Well, you want to know what salvation looks like? Look in a mirror, because you're salvation. You're a witness of salvation. You're a survivor. Your salvation and your resurrection to the world. See, this is the reason for us to go deeper in Christ. This is the reason for us to listen to Him through Lent. He wants us to go deep in Him. So that, He just naturally shines out through our faces, like Moses did after he had been with the God in His presence. So, we can dance around with the sign that says resurrection, okay? Now, I know that you believe in Jesus. He said so just a minute ago. I know that you love Him. I know that you believe the resurrection, His and yours. I know you understand His love, how much He loves and cares for each and every one of us. And you know that that love is so big it can't just be kept in this little place. It's so big that it has to be shared out in the world. Because His love is for all people. See, the next level is for us to step up in power. His power. It's a bit frightening. But He's given us a safe place to start that's right here. We can do it here first, and then we can go out there and do it. See, it's not just for spiritual giants like Paul. It's for every believer to be the norm. That's what it is. And I know that you can believe that He will use you to demonstrate His power to others. You will be resurrection to other people. You will be salvation to others. I know that it's inside of you because He is inside of you. So what does resurrection look like? What does this night look like? Well, it looks like you. Amen.